There's some things that you don't even need to decide whether God's will or not. You remember we talked about those. It's God's will that people be saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will that we abstain from sexual sin. It's God's will that we submit to the governmental authorities unless it conflicts with God's word. It's God's will that we give thanks and that we pray. So those things we don't even need to think about. We know that those things are God's will. We know also that there are things that can get us on detours, get us detoured from what God would have us to do. And in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, we looked to help stay off detours, we need dedication to the Lord. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. And it's very interesting, if you'll look at the original language there, it means make a once-for-all decision, just like you make a once-for-all decision for Christ, make a once-for-all decision to put the Lord first place in your life. I remember doing that. It was in February when I was at Central Michigan University. And I said, Lord, I have no idea what you have planned for my life, but I'm not doing a very good job of running my life. You can do better. So I put myself at your disposal. I remember I could go back on the Central Michigan campus and point to you about where I was at, walking home from class, going to where I lived, which was Emmons Hall, so many years ago, back in the late 60s. And the second best decision of my life, spiritually speaking, salvation the first. And the second, of course, is dedicating myself to the Lord, putting myself at the disposal of the Lord. And that's what we each need to do. The next one is separation. It says, be not conformed to this world. Don't adapt yourself to the culture. God gives us clear standards, and we'll be on a detour if we adapt ourselves to the culture and let the world mold how we behave and what we believe. So don't let it. And then finally, transformation. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. There's only one way to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It starts out with the washing of regeneration. You're saved first. And so immediately you have the mind of Christ, but then you still have an old nature, so you have to get into the Word of Truth and study it to sanctify you by the Word of Truth, by the washing of the water of the Word. So what will keep you off the detours of life are dedication, separation, and transformation. Now, we come to this evening's stuff, steps for actually discerning your own will. If you have your Bibles, we need to turn to the book of James. This is challenging for us, and God isn't against planning. I don't mean that. But in James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15, planning without giving him veto power is very dangerous. It says in James chapter 4, down in verse 13, it says, go to now. In other words, what are you doing? Go to now. What are you doing? Ye say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now, here's planning, but God is completely left out. And it says in verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. None of us here know what we're going to face tomorrow. I'm sure that Jim and Wanda, when they went to a party and they parked their van in Bayview, they didn't expect that somebody was going to bust out the window and steal their van. I'm sure that. Wanda called up and said, we would have been in church today, but we have no transportation. They've got to call up and their insurance covers a rental car. Whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow. None of us do. But then it says this, for what is your life? You get thinking about this. It says that it's even a vapor. It's like steam. It's very interesting as we began to transition weather here in Wisconsin. Sometimes when the weather changes and it gets cold in the air, when the blacktop was hot here, you know, I go out there and it seems like there's almost a fog, a steam rolling off. It appears for a little time, but when it won't, you know, and then it vanishes away. I'm looking at a lot of the faces here. There's some that are older than me. We won't mention Jim and Audrey. But anyway, there's some that are older than me, and there's a good number that are younger than me. But the fact of the matter is life is short. Whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth a little time, for a little time, and then vanisheth away. And then in verse 15 it says, for we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. When you're seeking to know God's will, and I have people right here, not so long ago I said this. I asked them to pray, Lord, if this is your will, open the door so that no man can close it. If this is not your will, close the door so that nobody can open it. Because we can waste a lot of time when we're not doing the Lord's will. And yet, I know at the same time, we'll come down here to the next one about prayer. So many times, I shoot up what is flare prayers because I have to make an instant decision. Any of you done that? There were several times this week. I got a text and I was asked to do a certain thing. And so I shot up a flare prayer asking the Lord, you know, should I do this or should I not do this? And he did answer. So I went ahead and answered and took the meeting. But there's another one that was sent. And so I'm praying about that as well because I want to do the Lord's will. Why? We need to redeem the time. There's some things that are good. They're not sin. But there's some things that are better. But then there's some things that are best. And one of the things in my life is the difficulty of choosing between what is good, what is better, and what is best. I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about there's a wide variety there. So should I take this obligation or should I do this? And so we need to say, if the Lord will. And we need to just allow the Lord to, don't go into a situation with your mind already made up. In one of the notes that I published here on anger, I have a mule sitting on a bale of hay with his paws crossed or his hooves crossed or whatever. And it has the title, Don't Bother Me with the Facts, My Mind is Made Up. Now, that's a dangerous thing. This man, he had it all planned. But God was about ready to require his life. And so when we're seeking God's will, we need to give the Lord veto power. Lord, if it's yours, open that door so nobody can close it. If it's not your will, please, Lord, please close the door so that I won't even go through it. Because we are always functioning at our best when we're in God's will. Amen? I mean, that's the truth. All right, the second one is pray for God's wisdom and will. I've already told you about the flare prayers. Sometimes you have to make real quick decisions. You get a phone call. Somebody's asking for a counsel. And so right away, you know where my head goes. I shoot up flare prayers and say, Lord, bring scriptures to my mind. Bring thoughts to my mind so that I can give this person wise counsel. And flare prayers, I think, are important because you can go to the Lord anytime. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, man, oh man, wisdom is living life from God's point of view. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I'm so glad that we have that invitation. It says, who giveth to all men liberally. I mean, he'll pour it on. He'll pour it on. How many of you have found yourself in a situation and you're asking God for wisdom and all of a sudden scripture starts pouring into your head? I mean, that's really something sometimes when that happens. And I'm just going, whoa, slow down, Lord. I've got to be able to get these things out. But it's a cool thing when that happens. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of a God who giveth to all men liberally. And he doesn't chew us out, upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So as you're seeking to discern God's will, make sure you give God veto power. That's number one. Erase your own will. Give God veto power. Number two, pray for God's wisdom and will. And the next passage of scripture I have is from Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 down in verse 26. So let me get to Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. It says, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Boy, I can tell you, and I've used the illustration many times before, but I had decided that Lynn and I needed to leave the first church I was at because they were dragging their feet and getting a pastor. They were satisfied with me. But I was very young and they didn't want me as their pastor. So I decided to go on a short-term missionary service. And I thought that was a good thing to do. And I talked to the director and he would pump us up. And then I'd start getting uneasy about it, and so I'd go back and talk to him. I should have just listened to that still small voice, because it says, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight knowledge, it says wisdom and knowledge and joy. I didn't have the joy. I laid out a fleece. I've told you that before. I'm not suggesting that we do that, but I did it in that sense, and I should have known better again. Because I said I gotta sell this 383 high performance car that I love so much, in order to be able to go and not have the payments on the mission field. And it didn't sell and didn't sell. It's getting closer, getting closer, getting closer. So what do I do? Guy said, well, I'll take over the payments. You know what? That wasn't what I had laid out the fleece for. You know what I'd said? Lord, if you sell the car, then I'll take it that you want us to go. He did not sell the car. So, you know what I did? Rationalization. Whoa, doggies. You can twist so much stuff with rationalization. You can make things a pretzel and try and convince yourself that it's still God's will. But you know what you're doing? You're messing with God's will. God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. God gave me wisdom. God gave me knowledge. And he didn't give me the joy because it isn't a decision that I wanted to make. But I went basically, la, 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 la. I'm going. Don't stop me. Don't stop me. Don't stop me. That's not a good thing to do. I don't like it when the kids do that. And if the kids do it, and you know what? When I got to Haiti, you know what God did? Yeah. And so, you know, pray for wisdom and for God's will, because for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up that he might give to him that is good to God. It says, this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. So, there you go. Number one, erase your own will. Give God veto power. Number two, pray for wisdom and God's will. Number three, related scriptures. Read related scriptures. Psalm 119, 105. You know it. You can quote it. If I start it and you remember it, quote it with me. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto thy path. You know, I had a big decision when I came here to First Baptist Church. There was a man who sporadically attended First Baptist Church, but was a member of First Baptist Church. But he worked for Miller Brewery. He worked right on the assembly line where they filled, I don't even know what you call them, I guess they're kegs or whatever, but that was his job. Somebody told me about that, and so I decided after a lot of prayer to go over and talk to the fella about it, and we had a good talk. I asked him if he worked for Miller Brewery. Yeah, I've worked for Miller Brewery for a long time. The Bible tells us, one to him that giveth his neighbor to drink. So I want to tell you a few things here. If you win the lottery, I don't want your money. I don't want you tithing on that money. Number one, you shouldn't be playing the lottery. I told the man, I really don't want your tithe, because I don't think God could bless it. I mean, I struggled over that, but woe unto him that giveth his name. I wanted God to be able to bless the church. Well, of course he didn't like that, and he didn't stay around the church very long in relationship to that. But I still believe it was the right decision, because I was weighing the related scriptures that relate to that, and I read Proverbs chapter 20 and all of those type of things, and I've thought about all of the alcohol problems that I'd had to deal with already in my young ministry, and the one that I had to deal with when the janitor came to the parsonage down there, the third house down, drunk, and that cleaned the church at that time, and I just thought, I can't take that money. I want God to be able to bless. If you're getting your money selling illegal drugs, and I don't think there is anybody, but I'm just saying, I don't want your tithe on that. You shouldn't be doing that. I could think of a lot of things. So I'm just saying that in deciding God's will, you need to take into consideration related scriptures. I had somebody come to me and one time and say, you know, I was sprinkled as a kid. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Do I need to be baptized again? And I said, well, do a study of the scriptures on what baptism is. And then I says, come back and we'll talk. Well, number one, I was sprinkled as a kid. Anybody else? Look at that. There's a lot of us sprinkled as a kid, because that's just the way that those religions are. But if you study the scripture, you understand very clearly, they that gladly received his word, in other words, they got saved, were baptized and were added unto them. Or if you go into Acts chapter 8, see, here's water. What doth stop me? What hindereth me? The Ethiopian said, what hindereth me to be baptized? And the next verse, which is left out of the modern versions, by the way, says, if thou believe with all thy heart, thou mayest. Well, ultimately, we got back together again, and I said, you weren't baptized. You were rantized. Because the word for sprinkle is rantizma. And that means to sprinkle. And it talks about the sprinkling, the rantizing of blood, the sprinkling of blood. So that isn't biblical baptism, because biblical baptism, as we know and as is in our Constitution, number one, you need to be a believer. And number two, it is by immersion, because when you go under the water, it signifies the death and burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come up out of the water, it symbolizes his resurrection and our walk in the newness of life. And so I just use that as an illustration, but when you're struggling with decisions, look up the scriptures. I was thinking about a fellow that talked to me. He said, I don't know whether I should take this job or not. And it was a sales job. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being a salesman, but his boss, it was used car salesman, his boss wanted him, and this was back in the day when it was relatively easy to do, wanted him to have part in and learn how to turn back speedometers, and wanted him to be able to know how to fix certain things illegally. And I says, I really don't think that there's a whole lot to decide here. He says, but it pays good money. But I said, well, I don't care whether it pays good money or not. Is it a biblical thing to do? Your boss wants you to cheat. Your boss wants you to lie. And so the young man didn't take the job. That's what I'm talking about. Gather related scriptures as you try and make your decision. And then there's another thing. Seeking wise counsel. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I really miss Pastor Darrow. I miss him a lot. For 9 years, he was the assistant here, as many of you well know. But we were friends for another 16 years even before that. And, what Pastor Darrow and I often would do when we come into particular situation, Linda and I call it bouncing. I would come to a situation and not be sure how to handle it. I knew that Pastor Darrow was a godly man. I had traveled with him to conferences across the United States. He and Mrs. Darrow, she doesn't like to travel at all, and somehow, some way, I talked her into going 3 weeks to Europe with us. Mrs. Darrow doesn't like water, and when we were down in Florida, there was the opportunity to go on the glass bottom boats. Any of you have been to Florida and Ocala and the glass bottom boats? I really got some good pictures of a manatee swimming under the water in the glass bottom boat. But Mrs. Darrow said, I don't like water. I don't go on those things. I says, you mean to tell me you let me talk you into 3 weeks going to Europe with us? And you won't go on the glass bottom boat with us? I hope she doesn't listen to this. She'll kill me. but at any rate, guess who went on the glass bottom boat with us? Mrs. Darrow. And I said, well, the worst thing that could happen is the glass could pop out of the bottom. You know, I tried to give her some comfort there. I says, I'll keep a watch on it. If I see that there's leaks all of a sudden coming, I'll grab one of these life preservers up here and throw it your way. But anyhow, it wouldn't matter if it did pop out because the water would only come up a little ways because it's just a little thing there. But anyway, she ended up having a good time in relationship to that. But back to the original thing, Pastor Darrow and I would seek wise counsel from us when we had church difficulties, when we had different situations we're trying to deal with. I'd tap his brain on maybe what scriptures would be appropriate or what he would do in the situation. It wasn't uncommon for him to call me and talk to me about it as well. But there is safety in wise counsel from godly people or wise counsel even from unsaved people who are experts in their area. We talked to Tim. We're trying to find a good surgeon, what do you call it, that deals with the bones, what is that? Orthopedic surgeon and stuff for Linda. We talked with, got the name from Audrey. Audrey had a body transplant a while back, but anyway, so we're trying to find, but so wise counsel, that's a good thing to go around and to get wise counsel. And along wise counsel, I don't necessarily just mean people, because oftentimes I would talk to people and see if there was a good godly book on the subject. I am constantly having to read things. I don't get much time for pleasurable reading. I'm not complaining about that, but I want to feed you well, and so I'm constantly Here I'm trying to get rid of a whole bunch of books because I'm winding down in my ministry and I probably have 3,000 books. And you know what I did? Doc Williams is getting rid of his library. And he said, go down and bring any books that back that you want to. There's a huge box outside my office because I went through his 1,000 book library in the basement there, his whole basement, both sides of his library, and I pulled off a whole box of books that I wanted because it looked like some things that I would study in the future. So you can get wise counsel from good reading material. And now I'm going to give you some warning right now, but you can, if you're careful, even get some good information from the internet. But don't believe everything you read. You know, so be cautious about that. But wise counsel, that's very important. It talks about in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one, and a threefold cord is not quickly or easily broken. So what's the threefold cord? Well, the threefold cord is you, and a friend, and God. That is a threefold cord. And I've used that as an actual illustration before. I've had somebody come up and just have a single strand, and it breaks pretty easily. You put two together, it's harder to break. And when you put three nylon strands together and try and break them, it is very difficult. And so when you're trying to discern God's will, make sure that you get wise counsel from a godly people. And then remember the great guiding principles of scriptures. Now, I'm not one for cliches, but I could have put in number one, WWJD. Anybody remember what that stands for? What would Jesus do? And in reality, that's what I'm saying. Would Jesus make this decision? 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. You know what that means? Would Jesus do it? Would Jesus do it? I think that that's a good thing to bring into consideration. Is this something that Jesus would do? Is it something that Jesus would recommend that you do? That's number one. Remember these great guiding principles. Number two, will what I choose glorify God? It's amazing to me what we read in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink. Man, really? You know what I had for lunch today? Chicken and rice. It was good. But whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. If the Lord is concerned in such mundane things, and it has to be 1 Corinthians 10:31, not 2 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31, your notes are wrong. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Kind of coupled with that is number three. Would I want to be doing this when the Lord returns? Think about the things you do. It would be cool to be trying to lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ when the Lord returns. It would be cool to be preaching when the Lord returns, reading my Bible when the Lord returns. But would I want to be doing this when the Lord returns? And that's 1 John 2 and verse 28. 1 John 2 and verse 28. The Apostle John now is an old man. And he says, and now, little children. He's not talking to kids. He's just talking to young believers. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, Jesus is coming back, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You probably would not want to be watching an R-rated movie when the Lord Jesus Christ came back. You probably wouldn't want to be reading some sleazy book when the Lord Jesus came back. You probably wouldn't want to be found telling a little white lie or a big black lie. Oh, by the way, little white ones and big black ones, they're all lies, okay? When the Lord came back, you probably wouldn't want to be compromising a clear biblical teaching when the Lord came back. So if you're going to do the will of the Lord, you need to ask yourself the question. It's similar to what would Jesus do, but would I want to be doing this when the Lord returns? Because that's what 1 John 2:28, that's what the Apostle John, the one who lived the longest, that's what he's telling them. It says, when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Number four, will this hinder my spiritual growth? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, weights and sin. Weights and sin. Weights are not sin. But you know, you can, if you are so much of a workaholic now, let me get serious here. If you're so much of a workaholic, and obviously I'm preaching to the choir, that you don't have time to come to church, then you're probably working too much. I mean, we have church 9:30, 10:45, 6:15, and we have a Wednesday prayer service as well. Most people's work schedule would allow them to make at least one of those services. And so some people are such workaholics that they don't take any time for their spouses. Some people are such workaholics, they don't, they don't take any time for their kids. Some people are such workaholics, they don't have time to read their Bibles. They don't have time to serve the Lord. There's something wrong in that, and I would say that that would make it pretty clear that you're not in God's will if you don't have time to pray, if you don't have time for His Word, if you don't have time for your family. Very, very much it hinders your spiritual growth. And number five, will this decision bring impurity to my mind or body, which is God's temple? Which is God's temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? I know we don't like it, but you know who owns you? If you're saved, who owns you? Jesus Christ owns you. He owns me. He owns you. And being our owner, He has a right to tell us what's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. And so, will this decision bring impurity to my mind or my body, which is God's temple? And number six, and final, Will this decision or action cause a weaker Christian to stumble or cause an unsaved person to speak derogatorily of the Lord? Romans 14:21, it says, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. You know, if I had a Jewish Christian who was recently saved over to my house, do you know what I wouldn't do? I wouldn't have bacon and ham and pork for them. New Christian. Why wouldn't I do that? Because if they were a practicing Jew, they wouldn't eat unclean meats. Now, I know all about Peter. Don't call anything common or unclean. And I use this gross illustration all the time. If you feel like eating camel's eyeballs, well, have at it. Don't call anything common or unclean. Or, in my case, I don't eat tacos. You say, what's wrong with tacos? When tacos are in that hard shell, you take one bite and the rest of it's in your lap. And I don't like taco meat flavoring. But, getting down to seriousness now, you know, there's things that can offend newer, weaker Christians. Okay? And we need to be aware of that. And then also, in relationship, you know, if people know that we have a Christian testimony, and I know that this relates to the ladies, but it also has application to the men in Titus 2 and verse 5, be discreet, chaste, speaking of the ladies, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands. Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. You know, it's very interesting how you can destroy your Christian testimony if you're working with a bunch of unsaved men, and then you decide to go ahead and tell a dirty joke. You know what? They think, well, this person's supposed to be a Christian. This person's supposed to be a Christian. We need to guard our Christian testimony carefully and be consistent in our Christian walk before the unsaved world because, you know, we're often the only Bible that many unsaved people will see. They don't pick this up. They don't pick this up. There's more and more people today who do not even own a Bible. You know that? I mean, we're living in a Bible literate society. That's why in all of the packets that we give out, guess what's in there? A John Romans. We want them to have a portion of the Word of God. It used to be, starting really with the United States of America, because I have several Bibles that came over to America from the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s, and you know what was often in the family Bibles, and even, I don't know whether, oh yeah, it's in this one as well, but the family Bibles in those days, it's very interesting because my Bible has my wife's family tree, the husband's family tree. It has our children, our grandchildren. Let's see if it goes beyond that. No. And then it has a death record. But, for instance, my grandmother's Bible, my great uncle. Anyway, it was my grandmother's brother. He doesn't have a birth certificate. And in order to get a Social Security card, guess what you need? You need a certified birth certificate. Well, my uncle called me up quite some time ago because when my grandmother died, I had my grandmother's Bible. It made my uncle mad, but I was a preacher, and so my grandmother gave me her Bible, but do you know that the United States government accepted a photocopy that listed his date and place of birth in the Bible, in my grandmother's Bible, which was her dad's Bible. So it went from her dad to her to me. And that's been used twice, and the government accepts that as a legitimate record. But today, you know, there's so many people who don't even have a Bible. They don't care to have a Bible. And then I'm just as guilty as the next person, but I have my Bible on here. I have my Greek New Testament in here. I have my Hebrew Bible in here. I have 27 different commentaries in here. And so a lot of times I'm not even carrying this around as well. But it makes it a little more difficult to underline verses and all that kind of things in the Bible. So while I read a lot of stuff that is online, I still like having hard copies of things because I mess them all up. I highlight them, I circle them, I write notes, I underline, this one isn't as much as my other one, but I got lines here, I got lines there, I got every place, and it really helps me in my studies. But to get back to what we're talking about, will this decision or action cause a weaker Christian to stumble or cause an unsaved person to speak derogatorily of the Lord or think that Christianity is a bunch of junk? So there we have the rest of the message. Steps to discerning God's will. Give God veto power. Erase your own will. Number two, pray for wisdom. And when you have to make a quick decision, shoot up those flare prayers. Read related scriptures. Seek wise counsel. Remember the great guiding principles. Would Jesus make this decision? Will what I choose glorify God? Would I want to be doing this when the Lord returns? Will this hinder my spiritual growth? Will this decision bring impurity into my mind or body, which is God's temple? Will this decision or action cause a weaker Christian to stumble or cause unsaved person to speak derogatorily of the Lord? Those are good guiding principles to finding God's will. And when you are in God's will, there is peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Though the world is freaking out around us, and really, the world is freaking out around us. Right now, the world is freaking out around us. They're making so much of a deal. People are losing their job. You have good people who worked all through COVID with none of this stuff. Some of it got them themselves, and then people are losing their jobs because certain health departments and so on and hospitals, they're not accepting religious exemptions and all that kind of stuff. And there's some people who just are choosing not to get the vaccine altogether. And it's really causing fruit basket upset. There was one of the other major airlines that had to cancel a bunch of flights again. One of the school systems, there's so many workers that have chosen not to get the vaccine. They're hiring students to do the stuff. They're hiring students to do the stuff. It's not teaching stuff, but they're hiring students to monitor their study halls. They're hiring students to do the janitorial work. They're hiring students to, you know, all this kind of stuff. We live in a bizarre world. And yet, you know what? When you're living in the will of God, you know, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on. Keep your mind stayed on. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I really don't. I don't. I have a friend in Canada. And he's a preacher, and He's preaching things that they don't want him to preach. And Canada already has set aside, they haven't started using them yet, some camps for those who are choosing not to be vaccinated. Can you figure out how bizarre that is? How crazy that is? And yet he's trusting the Lord. He says, I'm going to keep preaching the word. You can already be jailed, and some people have been jailed for preaching on Romans chapter 1, calling homosexuality vile affection. Been arrested and been fined $12,000 for preaching that sermon. It's very interesting. So how many of my posts get flagged now? They get flagged. Now you got to go to this thing. Even one of my pictures up on abortion, it's blocked and says, this is a violent picture. Do you want to see it? Abortion is violence. It's murder. And so, nonetheless, we function best when we are in the will of God.